You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to the Daily Hammer, your daily news source when it comes to the Atlanta Braves as part of the Battery Power Podcast Network. My name is Sean Coleman. Hope wherever you are and wherever you are listening, you're having a terrific Thursday, and hopefully the end of your week is certainly going to be the best it can be. You can find the Daily Hammer, the Battery Power Podcast, and the Road to Atlanta Podcast all at batterypower.com as well as at Battery Power SBN across all forms of social media. My name is Sean Coleman. You can find me at StatsSAC. When it comes to the Braves, here's the latest from Atlanta. So the Braves' 14-game stretch of this to start the season without any rest days has finally come to an end. A 6-8 start to the season. And just like they did on their 7-game homestand to start the season, the Braves finish off their West Coast road trip with a 3-4 record, a 5-1 loss to the Los Angeles Dodgers on Wednesday afternoon. And just to be honest, a game that, you know, it just seemed like the Braves never were really in. There really was never any type of offensive threat that was produced by the Braves until the last inning when Marcell Ozuna got an RBI. It just did not seem that the Braves really ever stood a chance in this game against the Dodgers. So the Braves end the road trip with a 3-4 record. And there's not much to talk about Wednesday's game. Charlie Morton once again struggled. Freddie Freeman hit an early home run. And as I mentioned, the Braves just did not really seem to be in it from that point on. But a 3-4 record, when you're considering how the Braves have been playing, you know, where they are in terms of figuring out their rotation, obviously trying to figure out, you know, the bottom of their order. Overall, 6-8 to start the season certainly is not ideal. You certainly feel as if the Braves have more talent, like their talent should result in a better record. The overall efforts that they've shown on the mound and the plate, when it comes to advanced metrics, it suggests the Braves' record should be better. It's just right now the results are not there. And that, yes, has been a consistent theme so far this year. But when you still are trying to figure everything out as far as the team goes, when you know that the results are not matching the efforts as of yet, I'm not necessarily that disappointed with a 6-4 record, especially when you've gone out on the West Coast where we know that the Braves overall have struggled more often than they've succeeded in recent years, especially in LA. I'll take a 6-8 record. Now, obviously, in terms of this West Coast road trip, there are a few concerns that you certainly hope, as sample sizes get bigger, these concerns work themselves out. For one, is Charlie Morton bookending this West Coast road trip with two pretty forgettable performances. Overall, Charlie Morton on this West Coast road trip had two starts in which he totaled 10 1/3 innings. In those two starts, he gave up 9 earned runs and three home runs, as well as 15 hits. Again, in 10 1/3 innings, Charlie Morton took 2 losses, gave up 9 runs, 15 hits, and 3 home runs. That obviously is not encouraging when it comes to Charlie Morton's start to the season. Now, if you go back to last season, he also had a pretty rough start to the season as well. He struggled out of the gate. So it's not like this is unprecedented. We've seen it before. And obviously, you know, with the veteran that Charlie Morton is, with the consistency that he has shown, you certainly figure that at some point he'll be able to find his groove and move forward. However, with the Braves now being at 6-8, You certainly do want that to happen sooner rather than later, and you expect that it would because he looked very good in his first start of the season. But one thing to definitely watch is Charlie Morton continuing over his next few starts. Doesn't seem as if there is any, you know, concerns of it, you know, off his injury from last year. Doesn't seem like there's anything long term. It just seems like he's figuring himself out. But for a team that certainly has aspirations of going to the playoffs, going to the World Series, obviously we've got a long time to figure it out. A big part of the reason why they were able to do it last year was the performances of Max Fried and Charlie Morton as co-aces. You certainly hope that Charlie Morton returns to that level in the near future. Obviously, Max Fried, with his start on Tuesday night, that was highly encouraging. One of the best starts we've seen from him, you know, over the recent years. As a matter of fact, kind of, you know, him at his peak, which we've seen more often than not in 2020 and 2021. So you've got Max Fried certainly seeming as if he's starting to find his groove. You hope Charlie Morton definitely follows in those footsteps as well. The other thing that stands out is the Jekyll and Hyde performance of the offense. Now, there's only so much you could take away when it comes to the Braves' offense against the Dodgers. They hardly ever perform well out in L.A. One of the reasons why is how good the Dodgers are as a team, and they are as at home. But one thing that kind of has fallen off for the Braves is their overall patience at the plate. You know, going into the weekend, the Braves were leading the Major League Baseball in walks, but over the past 4 to 5 games, they certainly have not shown the same patience. They've not created as many opportunities for run-scoring plays because they've not reached base as much. Now, again, one of the reasons why is because of the quality of pitching that they're facing, but This does go to show that if the Braves are not walking, if the Braves are not getting on base, if they're not showing patience at the plate, it makes it even harder for them to be able to score runs consistently, especially when besides their 2, 3, and 4 hitters right now, there's not a lot of consistency. Yes, Ozzie Albies as well as Travis d'Arnaud, they are getting big hits at times. But outside of Matt Olson, Austin Riley, and Marcelo Ozuna, there's not too much consistency right now when it comes to the Braves' offense. Yes, they're making hard contact. Yes, there are good results at times. But as we've seen in this Dodgers series, the Braves were able to win on Tuesday, but outside of that, they got a couple of big hits during the series. But, you know, for the majority of the series, the Braves really did not pose a threat to consistently score. That's something that, you know, with the off day today, with the day to recharge, day to get going again, obviously returning home, you have to hope that the consistency of the Braves being able to, you know, in multiple ways, put runners on base, whether it's timely hits, whether it's walks, making hard contact, you hope that the Braves are able to regain their earlier in the season form in which they were able to create opportunities in multiple ways, getting runners on base via walks, getting runners on base via hits, and obviously consistently making hard contact to, even if the results may not be there all the time, you at least have enough chances to cash in enough to support the pitching. And the third thing that stands out is, though the bullpen did still, you know, have a bit of its struggles, it felt like that the bullpen also righted the ship a bit, you know, especially in San Diego, you know, to where it can start to deliver a bit more, to where it has the ability to support the offense to come back in games or to support the starting staff once the offense has given the Braves the lead in game. So overall, certainly a lot left to improve. There clearly is room for improvement. But with all things considered, a 6-8 record, getting one of the tougher road trips of the season out of the way early, the Braves certainly have to feel at least that, you know, hey, 6-8, but we certainly know where we can improve, certainly have seen some things improved, so I would still feel that they are highly encouraged going into their first off day of the season and looking at an upcoming homestand starting this week.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Of course, the Braves' performance in L.A., them finishing up their first road trip of the season before they were able, they're able to experience their first off day of the season today, that wasn't the biggest news of the day for the Braves. The big news of the day for the Braves actually happened off the field when the Braves traded left-hander Sean Newcomb to the Chicago Cubs for familiar face Jesse Chavez and cash considerations. Now, obviously, in the grand scheme of things, this isn't necessarily that big of a move. Yes, the Braves are getting back Jesse Chavez, who, while he was not, you know, you could consider him part of the night shift from last year, not one of the most important pieces, but certainly someone that was a versatile arm for the Braves, either in middle relief. He did start a few games towards the end of last year as well. He is someone that in his role, in terms of what he was asked to do, he definitely exceeded expectations for the Braves last year. So a familiar face, a versatile arm that the franchise knows, they're able to welcome him back and add him to an already very deep bullpen. But of course, the bigger story is that the Sean Newcomb era with the Braves has finally come to an end. And it was an era that was always much more highlighted by potential or flashes, and to be honest, at times, disappointment, than it was long stretches of productivity. Of course, we go back to when Sean Newcomb was welcomed to the Braves, in a time when many moves that were made by the Braves certainly seemed to be astute, certainly seemed to make sense. This happened around the same time that the Braves were able to trade Shelby Miller for Dansby Swanson, Aaron Blair, and Ender Inciarte. One of the best moves that many considered of the Braves' rebuild during the latter part or the middle part of the 2010s. Perhaps the worst move that was made during that time frame was when the Braves traded shortstop Andrelton Simmons, who was on a very affordable contract at the time, though a lot of his value was in his defense, still a player who was going to offer plenty of value moving forward. The Braves traded Andrelton Simmons to the LA Angels, and the prize that they got back was Sean Newcomb. Now, early in his time with the Braves, it seemed like that Newcomb was someone that could eventually become a long-term part of the starting rotation. If you go back to 2018, Sean Newcomb, a year that the Braves won their first division title in this stretch of winning four straight division titles, 30 starts, 164 innings, 160 strikeouts, 3.90 ERA. 4.14 FIP. Not bad. right? You know, not necessarily terrible when it comes to starting pitching. But obviously the thing that stood out was that the control for Sean Newcomb was always going, it was definitely going to be an issue moving forward. That always was the big question mark about Sean Newcomb. There's a ton of potential, but could he ever harness his control to be able to have long stretches without getting himself in trouble consistently? And that's just one thing Sean Newcomb could not avoid. It was either the fact that his control would not allow for him to go long stretches without consistently putting runners on base via walks or working up his pitch count, or it was the fact that, you know, once he harnessed that a bit, he became more hittable. And it was just, there was so much inconsistency with Sean Newcomb. Though the overall numbers in 2018 as a starter, and then in 2019 as a reliever, it felt like that Sean Newcomb at times could figure it out in one of those roles, but he just never was able to stay consistent. Or the best way to put it, Sean Newcomb was never able to find the opportunity to truly be reliable in whatever role the Braves were going to utilize him in. And it just never figured itself out. There were times where he certainly showed flashes. There were times where it was hopeful that he would be able to work off maybe 1 or 2 weeks of good performances, but then after that he would fall a bit off. And then from 2020 till this year, Newcomb just has not been able to find any sort of consistency at all, and it finally worked itself out to where the Braves were able to find a new home for him with the Cubs and obviously bring back a familiar face in Jesse Chavez. So at some point in time, we expected for this to be what was going to work out in 2022. You came into this season when it came to the Braves with a group of pitchers in Tuki Tassan and Kyle Wright and Sean Newcomb. If you even want to throw Waskar Yanoa in there, it makes sense. But there were 3 to 4 pitchers who, for multiple years now, have shown obviously why they were considered at one time top prospects, but have just never been able to truly figure it out with the Braves in Atlanta. We've now seen Kyle Wright start to figure it out, as he now has become a clear part of this rotation moving forward. However, for Sean Newcomb, it simply did not work out. And though it's just the start of the season, at some point, you have to add to this team more certainty than uncertainty. And that's why Newcomb, obviously, has been moved on from, and the Braves have brought in Jesse Chavez. The next one up may be Tuki Tassan. You know, last year, late in the year, we saw Tassan put some good starts together, but then unfortunately, his control issues started to come up again, and he wasn't able to stay consistent. So will Tassan be able to figure it out now that he's back in the majors, or is he going to run into the same inconsistency? And basically, is this going to really be his final opportunity to try to make the most of his talent in Atlanta? At the end of the day, it's kind of a changing of the guard for the Braves in a good way, as they're shifting from this group of young pitchers that, you know, at one time included Bryce Wilson, included Kyle Wright, Sean Newcomb, Tuki Tassan. It seems like that right now, the one out of that group that has really figured it out, that you hope has figured it out, Ian Anderson as well. You hope that Kyle Wright and Ian Anderson have figured it out to be long-term parts of the Braves rotation. But with the younger arms coming up in the Spencer Striders, in the Bryce Elders, even Tucker Davidson, Kyle Muller, and others, the Braves are going to be shifting to the pitchers that they feel have higher upside, that they feel could potentially work themselves out better. And of course, that's going to lead to less opportunities. And as we now have seen, if the Braves have opportunities where they can bring in certainty like they can in Jesse Chavez, like he was in 2021, we may see the Braves start to officially move on from some of these pitchers who just have not been able to figure it out over the past few years. It's now Sean Newcomb. It'll be interesting to see how it works out with Tuki Tassan, with this time when it comes to his tour in the majors. So it's an off day for the Braves, a needed one, I would say, as they look to return home before they start what should be a great opportunity for them to really start to find a groove into their season. A more than manageable schedule coming up for the Braves when it comes to the teams they'll be facing on this homestand. It certainly will be interesting to see how that gets started this weekend. And that's what we'll do tomorrow on the Daily Hammer, previewing this upcoming homestand for the Braves. Of course, you can find the Daily Hammer, the Battery Power Podcast, and the Road to Atlanta Podcast all at batterypower.com and at batterypowersbn on all forms of social media. My name's Sean Coleman. You can find me at StatsSAC on Twitter. Make sure you check out the podcast network, where the Battery Power Podcast Network, wherever podcasts are, free on all platforms. Make sure you hit subscribe. We know that your support, just know that your support is very much appreciated, and we all are very thankful that you enjoy the great podcast content that we consistently put out. Thanks so much for joining us here on the Daily Hammer. Hope you have a great Thursday, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow here on the Daily Hammer.